In the gospel today, war and peace and casting out of the devil, the kingdom of hell, the kingdom of heaven, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so it seems as though Christ wanders in his speech. But a consideration today taken primarily from Bishop Herrera on the gospel today. War and peace, kingdom of God, the kingdom of hell, battle, gathering with Christ, scattering, and then the Blessed Virgin Mary. Seems as though Christ travels through many different considerations. We have a man who is possessed of the devil. And this man, the same, was dumb. He was not able to speak. He could not communicate, and he did not understand his possession. He was not able to speak about his possession. He didn't know there was a devil. In many ways, this man can be considered as our modern world. There was a devil inside of a man. Our families have devils in them. They no longer have children. They get divorced. Husbands and wives that stay together make peace treaties. But they don't love each other. There is a devil everywhere in our society, but the same was dumb. We don't speak about the devil. We don't consider that the evil in the world is caused by sin, because we don't believe in sin. We are like the bad thief, says Bishop Sheen, who knows he suffers, who wants the suffering to come to an end, but who never thinks of sin. If you are the Son of God, take me down from the cross. Save yourself, save us. Somebody has to save us from the sorrows of our modern world. But we don't know how they came to be. We do not understand how there came sorrows in our world, because after all, we have public schools, we have education, we have technology. There's enough food presented, produced now to feed all men in the world, and yet there's still starvation. There's enough an understanding of love and truth and freedom. Everybody talks about love, truth, and freedom, and yet there's still hate, error, and slavery in the world. How can it be? There is a devil in this world, but the same was dumb. Now, Christ made a great mistake. He cast out the devil. And everyone complained. Not only do the Pharisees and Sadducees complain, but even the ordinary people in the crowd complain. Now, Christ in the modern world is the Catholic Church. Christ in the modern world is the Latin Mass, the traditional sacraments, the catechism that is traditionally taught. In this church, we have the power to cast out the devil. Your marriages can be marriages of love, and they can bear fruit, which is children. It is possible that peace exists in the family, even in our modern world. And this is a casting out of the devil. Now, when this is done, people complain. It is by Beelzebub that you cast out devils. By Beelzebub you cast them out. What do they say to us? Many people question the Society of St. Pius X, or any priest that says the Latin Mass, or teaches the Catholic Catechism. You're saying these things by Beelzebub. It is by Beelzebub that you hear confessions. It is by Beelzebub that you preach sermons in the catechism. It is by Beelzebub that you hold families together. It is by Beelzebub that you teach the truth to children in schools. All these things are done by Beelzebub. Such are the words of the modern world. Now the response of Jesus Christ. If I cast out you cast out the devils by Beelzebub, you teach the truth by Beelzebub, what good is it? You're against the church, they say to us. You're an enemy of the Pope, they say to us. You're an enemy of God. And others say, if you're really the truth, then show us a sign from heaven. And this is a common attack of the enemies outside of the church. Show us a sign from heaven. Prove to me that it's a true church. Look at the families. Look at the gospel. Look at the work of the church down the last 2,000 years. It has cast out devils, while there have always been sinners in the church, starting with Judas. And there always will be sinners in the church. There will always be enemies of God in the church, as long as the church is on this earth. But the general practice of the church, when it is being faithful to the words of God, the devil is cast out to those that will listen. Show us a sign. We want a miracle. And our Lord says, you will not receive a miracle. It's really a kind of a lie, because he did already do a miracle. He just cast the devil out. He just gave them a sign, and it wasn't good enough. They want another sign. And if he gives that sign, well, they want another sign. They're like Ezekiel, the king Ezekias in the Old Testament. I want to know that God is appearing to me. Make the sun go forward 10 degrees. And it went forward 10 degrees. And it says, well, anybody can do that. Make it go back 10 degrees. Anyone made it go back 10 degrees? Let's try another sign. Gideon made God give him 3 different signs. He wasn't satisfied with the first one. He wasn't satisfied with the second one. But finally, by the grace of God, he was satisfied with the third. But modern man is satisfied by no signs. Those people that are without faith will not believe. Those people, no matter what they see, they will not believe. The signs are already here. We have the gospel. We have the teaching of the church. We have the sacraments. We have the fruits of the faith. The essential fruits. But these things are not signs. Now, if these are not signs, then what are? And so some say that by Beelzebub you cast out devils. And others say, well, I don't think it's really by Beelzebub, but I just want to have more proof. I just want to be more secure. I just want to be more certain that it's really the right thing to teach the catechism. That it's really the right thing to go to the Mass that St. Peter himself said, and that Jesus Christ said, I want to make sure that it's the right thing to stick with the true faith. I'm just not sure. I need a sign, and another sign, and another sign, and another sign. There will never be enough signs. And so a continuation. Every kingdom divided against itself, he will give the sign that we should give to those that attack us. He will not perform a miracle. He will simply explain a truth. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? If the work that we do is the work of Satan, why are our marriages staying together? Why are people studying their faith? Why are they saying their rosaries more? Why are they frequenting the confessional more? Why is it that every single week there's always a group of mad people? That's one of the signs of the holiness of the church. Because there it is, it's 8:57, and Father just left the confessional, and you were waiting in line for 40 minutes again. And you couldn't get in the box. And if this happens again, you're going to kill somebody. Because you realize the importance of confession. So you're in line. Why is it there are long confession lines? The devil doesn't like long confession lines. The devil doesn't like the catechism. The devil doesn't like the Latin Tridentine Mass. He doesn't like the Holy Eucharist. He doesn't like our teachings, which are the teachings of the church. He wouldn't sponsor such things. For if he did, the kingdom of hell would be divided against itself and it couldn't stand. We see clearly in our modern world that it stands quite well. Therefore, I will let your children be your judges, says our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom do they cast them out? Where does our power come from? It comes from the mystical body of Christ. It comes from Christ himself dying upon the cross. This is where our power comes from. It comes from the tabernacle, where God really is. Body, blood, soul, divinity behind the veils. This is where our power comes from. We do not cast out devils by Beelzebub. We cast out devils by the power of God. Now, why are they afraid? Therefore, they shall be your judges. If I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. If I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now then he says in the next verse, who is it that he speaks about? Jesus Christ. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard. This strong man is modern man. Or he is the man who lives in sin, or the man that is not with the faith. His property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away his whole armor on which he was depending and will divide his spoils. That's what Christ is doing to the world. Christ is a strong man who is stronger than us, and he is going to attack and overcome us, and he will take away the whole armor upon which we depended. The armor the saint says that we depend upon is wealth. We depend upon the wealth and the honor of the world, and God is going to take it away. He's going to take away the armor upon which you have depended and divide your spoils. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters. One of the many passages in the gospel where Christ makes it clear. And here we arrive at the concept of peace and war, where he makes it clear that he is not on this earth for the sake of peace, but for the sake of war. I have not come to bring peace, but the sword, he says in the Sermon on the Mount. Here he says, he that is not with me is against me, he that gathers not with me scatters, and he is going to attack. These are all concepts of the warrior. On Holy Thursday night, Jesus Christ will say to his apostles, I have conquered the world. The devil is already vanquished. These are the words of a warrior, and Christ is a warrior. He comes to wage war, but how shall he wage it? He'll wage it from the cross, by shedding every drop of his own blood. But that's not all that he's going to do. He demands us to gather with him. Now, men gather together for several reasons. We gather together for security because we are afraid of an attack from the outside. We gather together to form strength so that we can attack others and overcome them by our power. And we gather together to rejoice and celebrate. Now, these are the three ways in which we gather behind Jesus Christ. We gather around Him because He is our only security. When you look for security somewhere else, you won't find it. Remember the man in the gospel? There'll be the one mentioned later on in the gospel today, but also another one later. The man who stored up to himself a whole barn full of food, which is going to last him the entire winter. And then he died in the middle of the night. Someone else got his food. He wasn't secure in his possessions. And neither are we. Recognizing the insecurity of our wealth, the insecurity of our jobs, the insecurity of our health, the insecurity of the modern world, we gather around Jesus Christ. For He is the security. He is the one who's going to defend and protect us. We also gather around Him because we too are going to be warriors. We're going to fight with Him to conquer this world for Jesus Christ. We're going to do that by becoming saints. We're going to do that by imitating Him, by following His example, which means taking up our cross, which is also another unpopular idea in our modern world. To take up our cross and follow Him. And then we shall rejoice. For it is only the Christ who dies on the cross that can rise from the dead. And unless He dies on the cross, there can be no resurrection. And so it is for our church. Unless the church dies, it cannot rise. Unless my soul dies, it cannot rise. And I can only die fruitfully if I die upon the cross next to Him. And so we embrace the crosses that God sends us. We gather with Christ. And we recognize the warning of Christ. He that gathers not with me scatters. So there's two options. We can be scatterers or we can be gatherers. Which shall it be? We wish to be gatherers behind the army of Christ. And here He spoke about peace. A man is at peace when he's strong. He has tranquility. But peace is defined as a tranquility of order, says St. Thomas Aquinas. Not just tranquility or rest, but rest in order. And when the rest is not in order, it's always in danger. How do we keep tranquility in order in this life? It is only possible by war. St. Thomas says, the purpose of war is peace. If we want the tranquility of order inside of our hearts, we have to war. We have to war against sin, which is the only disruptor of the tranquility of order. There is no other one. So if we want the tranquility of order, we have to fight against sin. Right now we have a war going on in Iraq. There's fighting going on. What is its purpose? Is it the tranquility of order? Is it the gathering around Jesus Christ? If it is not these things, then in the end, it is doomed. War begets more war, which begets more war, which begets more war. True war, the perfect war, is that war which arrives at peace. That war which establishes order in society in such a way that there shall be peace. Now this war is not fought by the enemies of God. It can't be fought because they only know war for the sake of war. They don't understand peace. They don't know the tranquility of order. They do not understand what it means to be at rest inside of one's heart. When one is not at rest in the heart, it translates. Bishop Sheen says, war is really the multiplication of an interior battle. That's all it is. I am unhappy with myself. I am not winning the battle over my own passions. And neither is anyone else. And these wars multiply. And when everyone in the world is fighting such a war, we call that a world war. It begets greater war. There isn't going to be peace until we establish the interior peace of being next to the cross of Christ. But this peace means war. And it means fighting against principalities and powers, says St. Paul. Fighting against sin. Fighting to maintain sanctifying grace. Fighting to grow in virtue. And unless we fight to grow in virtue, we are doomed to war. That is unending. But if we fight the right fight, we will have peace in the midst of war. And then Christ continues. What happens if we convert to the faith and then we don't continue the fight? I have converted to the Catholic faith. I have converted to going to the Latin Mass. I've converted to the sacraments. I'm fine now. I don't need to fight the fight anymore. I'm finally where I want to be. And so Christ warns, what happens if you stop fighting? When you stop fighting, you leave an empty house. And so he continues, the unclean spirit has been cast out. We've entered into the church. We've changed our lives. But we stop fighting. We stop trying to grow in virtue. There's only two ways to go in the spiritual life. Up, down. You can't remain in the same place. Well, we want to remain in the same place. What happens? The unclean spirit goes out through waterless places in search of a resting place. And finding none, he says, I will return to the house which I have left, the one he was cast out of. When he has come, he finds a place swept. Yes, you've left behind sin, but you haven't filled yourself with Christ. So the house is swept. Seeing it empty, he goes and takes seven other spirits, more evil than himself. They enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. He just cast the devil out of a man. And in the end, the last state of the man that he just cast the devil out is going to be worse than what it is now, because he's not filling himself with Christ. He's not trying to grow in virtue. Husbands and wives can't make peace treaties. They must grow in the love of each other. They must be willing to sacrifice for each other and give to each other regardless of what the other does. They must grow in virtue, or there shall come conflict that is greater than the one that you have now, and it shall come war, and shall come the misery in your marriage. Guaranteed. And the last state will be worse than the first. So the only answer is to gather with Christ. A woman in the crowd understands this. And hence she rises up and says, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. Blessed is your mother. But he says, nay, rather, blessed is he who keeps the word of, hears the word of God and keeps it. He is my brother and my sister and my mother. He who keeps the word of God. Now here Christ elevates his mother. From only being his mother to being the example of what it means to follow Christ and imitate him. Here he makes it clear in the gospel. The other version of this in St. Matthew is the one that we use very often in the Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That she is the example. She knows how to gather with Christ. She knows how to hear his word and keep it. And there is a simple answer to all of the things that Christ is saying in the gospel. Yes, I'm casting the devil out of this man. And you are all upset because I'm casting the devil out of this man. The world wants another sign. The world thinks I'm casting the devil out by Beelzebub. The world is looking at evil. And it is not paying attention to my words. Hear my word and keep it. And you will be my mother and my sister and my brother and so on. That is the only answer. It is the sign of Christ. Are we of the true church? Yes. And what is the sign? The fact that we are giving the faith of Jesus Christ to souls. That we are celebrating the true holy sacrifice of the Mass. That we are in true union with our Holy Father the Pope. And we are preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the sign. Hear these words and listen and change the ways. Do not look at Beelzebub. Do not look for another sign. For we human beings can only do one thing at one time. If you're looking for another sign, you have no time to listen to Jesus Christ and His words. If you're looking for Beelzebub, you have no time to listen to Jesus Christ and His words. Listen to the words of the gospel. Practice virtue in your families. Study and know our faith and our gospel. Live by it. When you realize you're not living by it perfectly, go to confession. Every 2 weeks, every month, at the farthest. Because none of us are living by it perfectly. And that is the answer. Christ travels through all kinds of different subjects, it seems, in the gospel today. But in fact, all He is saying is, there's two kingdoms. The one of Beelzebub, the other of myself. They who are of my kingdom, listen to my words and keep them. Everyone else scatters. If you want to be of my kingdom, listen to my words and keep them. Hence you need the frequent sacraments, especially confession and Holy Communion, and living virtuously during the week, changing our ways. And I'll close it at that. And then remember that the next Sunday, the men's retreat begins, so it's only a week away. We do need the volunteers to help keep some of the men. We need you to volunteer today or during this week. Call Mrs. Bauer, say you're willing to put up some people who will be coming from out of town, because they'll be coming on Friday or Saturday, and Friday or Saturday, and they'll need to stay overnight Saturday night and then come to Mass here, and then we'll take care of shuttling up to the top of the mountain after that. So, in any case, please call the number in the bulletin. I think there's about 15 or 20 people that need a place to stay. Anyway, so close it at that. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.